It's hot, and this heat is changing how high school football teams are practicing. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. School is in session, as are school sports, but practicing outside is a challenge this summer, as the August heat has been well above average and dangerous. So far this summer, there have been 21 heat advisories, the second most issued ever in the state. That means feel-like temperatures are about 108 degrees. To keep kids safe, it's becoming more common for school sports teams to shift daily practice to the early mornings before the sun rises. For one Cocoa Beach coach, this has been the worst summer for practice.
And you can also tell just how hot and how muggy it is out here. And when there's no wind, especially since we're surrounded by water, it makes it a lot worse. And it's just, you feel choked a little bit.
Coaching staff has made the decision to keep at least a couple of the daily practices during high heat hours so that the young athletes know what to expect on game nights. How heat is changing behavior. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Orange County Public Schools is making another $8.5 million in budget cuts after the district lost nearly 8,000 students this year. As Central Florida Public Media's Kayla Kissel reports, the cuts are coming from the district's more than $7 billion budget, as declining enrollment puts pressure on its finances.
The lower enrollment means less state dollars, which provides about $9,300 per student. That comes out to millions of dollars in lost funding. Scott Howitt, OCPS's chief communications officer, says enrollment determines how schools are staffed, but the district does not know how many positions could be affected yet.
We won't know exactly how many people are impacted versus positions, because you have to go through that process at the school level. We do know at the district level that we're reducing by $8.5 million at central office on top of the 5% that we cut last year.
OCPS Superintendent Maria Vasquez said in June, the district was already facing a $40 million shortfall. The district also says rising healthcare costs are also adding pressure, with each month without changes to its employee health plan costing another $20 million. Kayla Kissel, Central Florida Public Media.
Lake County becomes one of the latest jurisdictions in Florida to say flock no to surveillance technology. As Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig explains, county commissioners voted unanimously to revoke all permits for automated license plate readers in the county right-of-ways.
Much of Tuesday's heated discussion focused on the private company Flock Safety and its controversial roadside cameras. But several residents raised the point it's not just Flock using ALPR technology. Commission Chair Leslie Campione pointed out most people carry around smartphones that are also collecting personal data. Still, District 1 Commissioner Anthony Sabatini says the cons outweigh the benefits when it comes to roadside surveillance cameras.
Everybody knows that the juice is not worth the squeeze on this. The public policy so-called merits were oversold.
Flock cameras have helped track down missing persons and solve crimes. They've also led to wrongful arrests, and some law enforcement officers have abused the technology. Lake County's move to revoke ALPR permits follows similar moves in Oviedo and Altamont Springs. The state announced Monday it is revoking all such permits for state right-of-ways. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
Florida House Democrats want State Attorney General James Uthmeyer impeached. WUSF's Douglas Soule reports it comes after a leaked grand jury report showing the DeSantis administration misappropriated money.
Before the governor appointed him as AG, Uthmeyer was DeSantis' chief of staff. The grand jury says he was involved in directing taxpayer money toward opposing the unsuccessful ballot proposal to allow recreational marijuana. There were no charges, but Representative Kelly Skidmore, the Democratic House policy chair, calls for accountability.
We have to do something. This is one of the reasons why the electorate has so little faith in its government these days.
Republicans are not likely to consider removing him. There would need to be a Senate trial, and two-thirds of both chambers have to approve. Uthmeyer's spokesperson dismissed the push as partisan and criticized Democrats for not seeking the impeachment of a judge in an unrelated case. I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee.
These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Flock cameras are supposed to keep communities safe, but they're being taken down all over the state this week.
To me, it's an issue of, somebody mentioned mass surveillance. That's really the issue that people are worried about.
The controversy over license plate readers. That's this week on Engage. Get it where we get this podcast. Despite the recent rain in parts of Central Florida, this summer has been dry and hot, very hot. Central Florida Public Media's health reporter Joe Mario Pedersen and environment reporter Molly Durig report on how the heat index, intensified by the Saharan dust, is causing a change in behavior for some.
Saharan dust can limit tropical activity, at least up until mid-August. But it's also Saharan dust contributing to those hot, feel-like temperatures we've been experiencing this summer. Florida Public Radio Emergency Network meteorologist Leslie Hudson says Saharan dust brings an influx of dry air, intensifying the heat index.
Those heat indices are really what create the miserable, dangerous conditions for people because it's so oppressive. People aren't able to sweat as efficiently. They dehydrate quicker.
The National Weather Service reports Orlando's average temperature this summer was 84.5 degrees. That's 2.3 degrees warmer than normal. Climate change is driving longer and more intense heat waves globally. Millions of people were under heat advisories several different times this summer, and July was the warmest month on record for the contiguous United States. And as my colleague Joe Mario Pedersen found, that heat is causing some school athletic departments to adjust to the realities of the impact of the heat.
Dark skies and stadium lights. It's what every football player dreams of when taking the field. But these days, this isn't the only setting for Friday night high school football. This is a Tuesday morning practice. And the team, the Minutemen, have had to adjust their practice schedule and are up and working before the hot sun can take its toll.
Before that first game week, I think I'd say over 60 to 70% of those practices were either canceled or modified due to the heat.
That's Ted Kimmy, the school's athletic director and head coach. There have been 21 heat advisories this summer, the second most issued ever in the state. A heat advisory is issued by the National Weather Service when feels like temperatures are 108 degrees and above. It's unsafe for anyone to be outside for too long with those temperatures, especially kids. Their small bodies have a hard time dissipating heat. So to be safe, the team now has early morning practice twice a week, a tactic that's become much more common among teams across the state.
It's a little different, but I really like it.
That's sophomore and defensive tight end Graham Kimmy, Coach Kimmy's son. Earlier this summer, while at a football camp, Graham was practicing outside during a heat advisory. He drank a lot of water, but hadn't eaten. He felt faint.
And then I started cramping everywhere. Had to go to the trainer. I started full body cramping. And then I had to go to the hospital and get fluids put in me.
Coach Kimmy says it was a case of heat stress, but did exhibit some symptoms of heat exhaustion, nausea, and almost fainting. The camp was elsewhere in Florida, but Kimmy's home of Brevard County has had a hard summer of heat-related incidents. County data show that Brevard had the largest jump in heat exposure-related emergency calls in Central Florida, with 11 reported in June and 41 in July. Although in August, those incidents fell to 29. Four were heat stroke-related. If the heat continues, Coach Kimmy says they'll continue doing morning practice. Currently, the team still practices in the heat twice a week.
We play our games in the evenings in Florida, so like you also feel that kind of little pull that says like I still want them to feel like that afternoon, evening kind of humidity and temperature. But at the same time, like you kind of have to try to manage both and figure out the best way to do it.
The heat isn't the only element bumping up against records. The Minutemen are 2-0 this season for the first time since 2012, and the team is the most in sync Coach Kimmy can recall seeing.
Hey, beach on me, beach on three.
1, 2, 3, beach.
Do not be late or miss first period.
Above average temperatures are predicted to continue through October. Joe Mario Pedersen, Central Florida Public Media.
That was Joe Mario Pedersen and Molly Durig reporting. That's it for the wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrd. This is The Wrap.